Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you here this weekend. Always happy to be here with all of you. Who knows? Maybe next weekend you might be surprised by Jane Silk showing up and hosting the show. That'd be a treat. But for today, you're stuck with me. Going to have some guests later on. But first, want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Always thrilled to tout their honors, especially since sometimes their clients want this show to be canceled. Sometimes even management disagrees with the content of the show, but they still support our right to exist, so we appreciate that. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Silk or Joe Show now in its 11th year, because we started over 10 years ago. I think it was November of 2023. Why'd I say that? November of 2013. Not November of 2023. Gee whiz. How can we be 10 years old when we're only a month old, if that was the case? So, you can find out more about the show at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can also find past podcasts of this program up there as well. And you can find us on social media. Main Street Radio Network's Facebook page is at Main Street Radio Network. Their Twitter page at Main Street Radio. Also, their Wimkin page, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network. But then our own social media page, Getter, G-E-T-T-R.com, at Silk or Joe Show. All right. Also, while you're out there, check out the Alan Nathan Show, too. I guest host it sometimes. Gee whiz, I guest hosted it earlier this week. Guest hosted it on last week, too. So, never know when I'm going to pop up over there. Unless you're following us on Getter, then you'll know, because I'm pretty good about remembering to post over there whenever I guest host for Alan. It helps keep track as well. If I want to know if I hosted or not, if I forgot, I just go through there and look. So, on to the topics of the show today, though, because we got a bunch that we got to cram in here at the year end, because a lot of stuff's been going on, well, at the year end and at the UN. But, year in, UN, urine. I think all those words go together as far as the United Nations is concerned. They're out there demanding that Israel pretty much surrender and let Hamas just regenerate and attack again later on. Can you imagine if this kind of feckless idiots at the UN existed when the Nazis were around? Oh yeah, you stop at the Rhine River, let the Hitler regroup and build more tanks and stuff and come back at you later on down the road. Yeah, actually, it's this kind of thinking that got us into World War II to begin with. Just let the bad guys regenerate and then regroup and then come at you even harder next time. That's what keeps happening with Hamas. That's been the formula for 20 years almost, 18 years roughly. They attack and everyone tells Israel not to fight. So Israel just ends up losing a bunch of civilians. Hamas feels empowered because Hamas knows that they have the world on their side in their genocidal war against the Jews. So Hamas just waits. Regroups, rebuilds, attacks again, waits, regroups, rebuilds, attacks again, so on and so forth. The world seems to just want them to wipe Israel out, which is ironic, especially from the UN, since they're the ones who mandated Israel's creation in the first place. I guess the current wokesters at the UN who want their global worldwide government or whatever are regretting the decisions of their ancestors to create Israel, but just don't want to openly declare war on the country. Rather, they want to use their proxies in Hamas to wipe them out. And so Israelis, they really should not pay any attention to what the rest of the world thinks, because the rest of the world is ran by people who don't care about their existence. Even the Biden administration is wavering on their support for Israel at this point. And meanwhile, we have this war going on in Ukraine where, like, we're supposed to support that 100%, back it all the way, yet we're not supposed to support Israel. We're supposed to hate the Israelis. Now, let's compare and contrast the two here. What's going on in Ukraine right now? You have one mad dictator fighting another mad dictator, basically. Zelensky's proven himself to be a kleptocrat, just about. Not the most recent time, but the time before that he came over to the U.S. to beg for more money for his war effort, his wife ended up dropping $1 million on diamonds and jewels and other stuff at an upscale New York City store. Where did he get that money if all of that aid money is supposed to be going to the economy? Zelensky himself ain't a millionaire, or at least he wasn't before the war. So where's that $1 million shopping spree coming from? And is that the only one, or is that just the only one we heard about? We don't know. So, and also Zelensky, he's canceled elections in his country, banned the foreign opposition. He's banned the opposition party. He's also banned a major religion. He's banned opposition journalists. But, you know, banning all that stuff, elections, journalists, religion, he's still the protector of democracy, the savior of democracy, and definitely more of a good guy than Israel, according to Democrats. At least according to the left. Maybe some Democrats are splitting from the party as to whether Ukraine or Israel is a better, morally speaking. However, we always hear about how Israel needs to moderate its response, be careful of civilian casualties and all that. Nothing is ever said about that about Ukraine. In fact, a lot of what Ukraine does is assassinations and stuff against civilians, and that's okay. That's acceptable behavior. And some of their attacks, they've been accused of committing war crimes, but no one believes that they committed any. They think that all Ukrainians are honest, pure, good-hearted people out there doing God's work, apparently, whereas the Israelis shoot babies for fun. That's how the left sees the situation. Yet, again, there's just this lack of awareness, self-awareness, about when they make these moral arguments. You know, they say, oh, Ukraine, it's fine if they do anything they want when they're invaded, whereas the Israelis, oh no, they just have to let themselves get butchered by Hamas and they can't fight back. That very two distinct standards there. And you gotta wonder why. Normally, you know, you could pinpoint exactly why, in the woke ideology and all that, where people fall based on their skin color and the like, Israelis being the whites and the Hamas being the colored, so to speak. But when you look at Ukraine versus Russia, it's just a bunch of white people fighting there. What's going on? Well, it's probably because of all the corruption in Ukraine. As I've mentioned before, Zelensky's wealth that has been growing, and how Ukrainian officials have even come out saying, yeah, it's a kleptocracy over there. It's out of control. So you have that going on. You know that the elites around the world have their fingers in the till there. You know, they're dipping fingers in the pie, I think. Dipping into the till and fingers in the pie. I'm totally mangled those two expressions. Yeah, the Ukraine is laundering money for worldwide officials. In fact, that whole FTX thing, you might recall, that was part of the money laundering operation, it looked like, between U.S. dollars going to Ukraine as aid and then being invested back into FTX, which then goes back to U.S. politicians. So that is why Ukraine is much more supportable and easy to support as far as the left is concerned, because of all the rampant corruption there. And, you know, that was before the war, too. We've seen how corrupt Ukraine has been before the war with Joe Biden himself, in fact, when he admitted to bribing them to drop charges against his son's company for being crooked pieces of crap. And sure, and actually his son's company hired his son just because, Burisma. It's not like Hunter Biden's company he started. Hunter Biden's way too incompetent to start anything. But they hired Hunter Biden because they were having difficulties with a prosecutor, and they knew Hunter Biden's dad, Joe Biden, at the time vice president, could get the prosecutor fired or at least off their backs. So that's why they hired Hunter Biden. And sure enough, Joe Biden, right after Hunter Biden's hired, he gets to work, and suddenly there's no prosecutions going against Burisma anymore. So very corrupt over there. They were willing to, well, say over there, but we're the ones who threatened to withhold $1 billion in aid if the Ukrainian prosecutors didn't drop their case. And, you know, you wonder why Russia felt compelled to invade Ukraine when we pretty much control the government on their border to that level. Would we really tolerate such a thing if China, for example, was wielding such influence in Mexico? I'm not so certain. We've invaded for less, you know? We've toppled countries for less, you know, the CIA has. So really, it's not much that we have to complain about right there as far as Russia feeling unsafe with Ukraine. Now, whether or not invading and shooting up a bunch of people was the right solution, that's a different story, but they did have reason to worry about Ukraine. So, whereas the Israel-Hamas conflict, it's not so gray. There's not such a gray area. It's not a kleptocracy versus a dictatorship with the U.S. pulling the strings and threatening borders, making it unclear as to who the actual bad guy is, unless you just go who the first one who shoots is the bad guy. Rather, with Israel versus Hamas, totally different. It's a bunch of rapist murderers trying to kill the Jews. That's it. They're not oppressed or anything. The only oppression that the Palestinian people experience is from their own leadership, which they voted for, mind you. So they really did that to themselves because all they wanted to do was kill Jews. You know, they didn't even exist as a group, as an entity, until like the late 20th century. And that was only because Israel won a war that Palestine came into existence. So I guess that was a Pyrrhic victory in the long run when they whipped Egypt's butt. So, yeah, there is no more... You are right to think that there is no moral equivalency between Ukraine and Russia. However, the leftists would have it go the other way, whereas I'm saying Israel versus Hamas, they have the right to wipe Hamas out. Ukraine versus Russia, that's the moral gray area. More Silker Joshua after this break.
This report is sponsored by IBM. Customer service is now the top priority for CEOs when it comes to applying generative AI, leapfrogging other functions like research, innovation, marketing, and risk compliance. According to the IBM Institute for Business Value, 85% of CEOs expect generative AI to be interacting directly with customers by 2025. Piloting generative AI in customer service now can help accelerate a successful enterprise-wide rollout. Jennifer Quinlan, Global Managing Partner, Customer Transformation, IBM Consulting.
Everyone knows that today's modern consumer expects nothing less than a fast and uniquely personalized experience. Generative AI holds the potential to change the game in customer relationships by truly enabling businesses to deliver tailored recommendations, relevant answers, and extraordinary customer service.
How can businesses get started? Implementing generative AI tools to manage standard customer interactions can free up human agents to engage in more meaningful interactions, enhancing the overall customer experience. To learn more, visit ibm.com/IBV.
The holidays are here, and Amazon Access is making shopping on Amazon even easier and more affordable this season. Whether you're checking things off your holiday gift list or prepping to host a family feast, Amazon.com/Access has programs, discounts, and features for eligible customers to save big. With Prime Access, qualifying government assistance recipients can get over 50% off a regular Prime membership while still enjoying all the benefits of Prime, including fast, free delivery on every order. Eligible customers can shop everyday essentials like shampoo, paper towels, and coffee, as well as festive products like holiday gifts, hosting must-haves, and decor for only $6.99 a month. Eligible customers can also register their Snap EBT cards on Amazon to order eligible groceries online for delivery or pickup. In addition, they can use Snap benefits on Amazon.com to shop shelf-stable pantry items and shop fresh produce from Amazon Fresh. Find discounts, coupons, convenient pickup options, and more with Amazon Access. Visit Amazon.com/access to learn how you can save big this holiday season. Terms and conditions apply. Sponsored by Amazon.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve, it's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for being on, or thank you for listening. I want to thank our current guest for being on right now. We are joined by Chris Walker. He is professor of law at the University of Michigan. He's a senior fellow at the Administrative Conference of the United States and past chair of the American Bar Association's Section of Administrative Law and Regulatory Practice. He also has an upcoming book titled Constraining Bureaucracy Beyond Judicial Review. Chris Walker, happy to be on the program. How are you today?
Great. It's great to be here.
All right, glad to have you. So, among other court cases, you know, our sister show, The Al Nathan Show, they are pretty hot on another court case this week. But there's one that's kind of falling into the cracks here, and that is SEC versus, is it pronounced Jarkissi? Jarkissi? What's going on with this one?
Yeah, I mean, so the Jarkissi case is, I think, the most important case about agency adjudication to come before the Supreme Court in decades. At issue is whether the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, can impose civil penalties, so fines, on individuals through an in-house adjudication, or whether they have to go to federal court and a jury decide whether a company or an individual has to pay fines. And it's a really, really big deal because agencies impose fines all the time on individuals within their own house, with their own kind of administrative judges that they hire and they pay and they fire. And so the big question the court grappled with a couple of weeks ago is, should these really be before a jury in a federal court instead?
And would this by any chance impact the IRS and their ability to penalize citizens? Because that sounds like something that they might do with all these fines and stuff.
You know, the IRS has a whole, Congress has set up a whole different court system for the IRS. Oh. We've got tax courts to deal with that. So that's not, this is more, think any type of financial regulation, or EPA or EPA or OSHA, so like workplace violations or environmental issues. That's where this action is at.
Oh, okay. Well, you can't blame me for trying to be optimistic about it, right?
So, yeah, fair enough.
So now you have a piece over at Bloomberg Law, and you're talking about this. So there's an easy solution to get around this sort of thing. What is that?
Yeah, I mean, so I think. So David Zare and I, a law professor at Wharton at Thames Business School, we kind of come in and say, hey, you know, we don't want to get rid of agency adjudication. We think it is good to have in-house adjudications when the regulated party wants it, because they have expert administrative judges that really know the statutes and the regulations at issue. But when an individual or a company doesn't want that, they should have a right to remove. In other words, once the SEC says we're going to potentially impose a civil fine, at that point that company could say, all right, well, then let's go to federal court. And one reason why we're pushing this proposal is, I mean, Congress could pass a law. Congress isn't going to pass a law anytime any soon. But the SEC itself could actually just adopt this as its rule tomorrow. And so that's kind of what we're encouraging is, hey, SEC, if you want to save how you adjudicate and enforce, much better for you to just adopt this tomorrow and allow for these companies and individuals to go to federal court to have their right, their day before a jury when it comes to these types of civil fines.
Well, not only that, but I think it would save a bit of taxpayer money too on legal fees and the like if the SEC adopts this measure that you're talking about instead of going to court every time something like this comes up.
Exactly, it's cheaper for the agency. It's cheaper for the company too, because what happens is you go before the agency and you spend years litigated before the agency, and then when you lose, the company then goes to federal court and then seeks review there too. So this allows for that situation where the company just really thinks it's fairer and better for them to be in federal court, to just go there in the first instance. Saves them years, saves the agency years, and the like. So I think you're entirely right. There's a strong kind of efficiency taxpayer dollar saving argument here as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, the SEC versus Jarkissi case, what exactly are the origins of that? And, like, how does it tie in with the Seventh Amendment?
Yeah, I mean, so Jarkissi had a large fine, I think about $700,000 imposed against him in an in-house SEC adjudication. So an administrative law judge imposed this, and the Securities Exchange Commission approved it. And he brought a massive challenge down to the Fifth Circuit, around Texas, and said, hey, this is all unconstitutional. Everything that the SEC is doing here is unconstitutional. And the Fifth Circuit, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, actually agreed on three different grounds. The one we're talking about is just one of the three. but said that the SEC's way of adjudicating her violates the Constitution in three different ways. And that's how we got it to the Supreme Court. Of course, the Supreme Court has to hear that, because otherwise you have a whole system of adjudication. They, you know, they deal hundreds of cases a year at the SEC that wouldn't be able to move forward. And that's why Jarek at the SEC in court. And his argument on the jury thing is, I mean, for like the ordinary person, it's very intuitive. Hey, you know, if you're going to, the government's going to come after me and make me pay $700,000, accuse me of doing something wrong, I should get my day in court with the jury of my peers. And that's the argument that, you know, that he's really advancing. And I do think it has a lot of traction with kind of just our ideas of fairness. There are lots of reasons why agencies don't always do this. As you mentioned, kind of an efficiency perspective, I think there are a fair number of companies that would prefer to be before the agency, because the agency regulates them on a daily basis, and they'd rather just have that expert administrative judge do it. But, you know, for an ordinary individual that's facing a $700,000 fine, it's a pretty good argument that they should get, at least as a policy matter, they should get their day in court.
Now, given the constitutional implications of this case and going before the Supreme Court, do you think the SEC was feeling any pressure from the other agencies you mentioned who use this kind of procedure to, like, hey, you let this out of control? Could you just drop the matter, settle with Jarkissi out of court? Something other than going to Supreme Court and risking a ruling that would widely impact the rest of the agencies?
I think that's definitely on the mind of the Justice Department, where generally they're litigating these issues, for sure. Yeah.
So then what is the SEC, should they, what would happen, you know, let me get my words together. Where should they go from here then? You mentioned that they have that fix that they can do, but is there any way that they could just streamline their processes perhaps so that they could avoid needing that fix in the future?
Well, I mean, if they don't do the fix and the Supreme Court agrees with Jarkissi, they're going to have to bring all these cases in federal court to start with. Whenever they want to impose a civil penalty, they're going to have to go to federal court.
So I guess there's no way to really fix their processes there, how they process penalties, what exactly qualifies as a penalty. Like, there's no overreaching as far as the SEC is concerned that they can just look at their processes and go, hey, maybe we're a little hard on this. Maybe we need to cut back. Otherwise, we're going to spend the rest of our lives in the courtroom.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right that what will happen is it is more expensive, more time-consuming to go to federal court for the SEC. And so they're going to have to be much more judicious about when they seek civil penalties. It's going to reduce the number of civil penalties they're going to impose, would be my guess. If they don't create a right to remove, like we're suggesting, instead the Supreme Court says all of these cases have to be brought to federal court.
So they definitely have the impetus to do that right to remove. Now, do you see the other government agencies following the SEC's footsteps, or are they just going to wait until this sort of lawsuit comes their way?
Yeah, you know, it's a little more complicated. Each statutory scheme for civil penalties is different, and I think the SEC one is where you have the best arguments that it's unconstitutional. Some of these other ones are not as offensive from a constitutional perspective.
All right, Chris Walker, professor of law at the University of Michigan. Appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show today to talk about this. Listeners, got more coming up after the break.
This report is sponsored by Office Depot. The holidays are here, and it's the perfect time to save on must-have supplies, time-saving services, and top-shelf gifts for everyone on your list at Office Depot Office Max. Small business owners looking to meet end-of-year business goals while keeping costs at a minimum can enroll in the Office Depot Office Max Business Select program at a discounted rate for a limited time. Now through Sunday, December 31st, a first-year membership for new members is just $29. Members get exclusive discounts, convenient in-store and shipping options, and more. Shoppers can save time and enjoy the moments that truly matter by taking advantage of free 20-minute in-store pickup, same-day delivery, and same-day printing services for qualifying orders. And looking for the perfect gift? Find suggestions for techies, teachers, teens, college students, and everyone in between online at officedepot.com/giftguides. Visit officedepot.com and Office Depot and Office Max stores nationwide to learn more.
New federal data confirms that illegal, disposable, flavored e-cigarettes drive youth vaping. Here's former Office of National Drug Control Policy Director Gil Kerlikowske.
The latest data shows that Chinese-made illegal disposable vapes marketed in youth-enticing flavors are pouring into our country. The DEA has warned that these illegal products can be laced with fentanyl. The FDA must increase enforcement action.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
The federal ban on menthol cigarettes could have unintended consequences for Hispanic communities. Here's United States Hispanic Business Council President Javier Palomares.
You know, history has taught us that prohibitions just don't work. A federal ban on menthol cigarettes would hurt minority-owned small businesses. It would make communities of color more vulnerable to criminalization and bolster cartel pocketbooks. It's just simply bad policy, and it must be withdrawn.
Sponsored by the United States Hispanic Business Council.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you here today. So I'm just revamping something I said on the Al and Nathan show because, well, gee whiz, your rights are going out the window. What are you going to do about it? Although, actually, just, you know, you heard earlier, I just want to blast some fact checkers first because I, you know, we all hate fact checkers, right? Fact checkers. I got to really enunciate it. It sounded like I said fat checkers, at least to my ears. Fact checkers. Anyway, so on the week of December 3rd, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, he went to Congress behind the scenes, closed-door meeting. Now, according to Tucker Carlson, former Fox News host, he said his source told him that Lloyd Austin threatened to send the military out to fight Russia. Our military, by the way. If Ukraine doesn't get its latest load of money that they're going to spend on diamonds and luxury items and all that, because they're politicians have become much wealthier since we started sending aid money there. That's a fact. Which, how do you do that in the middle of a war unless you're siphoning the aid money off for yourself? How does your wife go on a million-dollar shopping spree in New York City when you're in front of the UN begging for more money to aid your war against Russia, right? So it doesn't make sense that they're as impoverished as they say if they're making all this money and spending all of this money. But according to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, we're going to have to send our military. And he actually allegedly, the phrase he said involved sending sons and cousins and uncles. So now most media outlets, they pick on that phrasing. Though if Lloyd Austin thought he was making a point or reading pre-written remarks, he may actually have said it. But most media outlets said he didn't say it. And some even tried to debunk the idea that a congressman's uncle would be sent to fight. But regardless of if he really said that or not, what's agreed is that this entire time, Lloyd Austin has been saying that if Russia wins in Ukraine, they'll take on the rest of Europe, and U.S. troops will have to get involved then. Except the fact checkers who say that also say that Lloyd Austin didn't say any such thing ever. It's actually and that Lloyd Austin, what he allegedly said behind closed doors about sending our military in to fight Russia, is inconsistent with what he said in the past. Yet at the same time, they also say, in the past, he said that we'd send our military in. They cannot make up their minds. They just really want Tucker Carlson to be wrong. So that's why some of them pick apart the phrasing, because they understand that they can't, that Lloyd Austin probably said something to that effect. But at the same time, others are out there saying, well, Lloyd Austin, he never said such a thing, except he did. They cannot get their minds correct on this issue. And that's the fact-based left that we're talking about, you know, the ones where if you go before them with an argument or something, they say, oh, you got to have it fact-based. But when they say that they want fact-based legislation, fact-based policies, they actually mean facts like this, where you say two things are true that are completely cannot be true at the same time. But I guess that's just the world that they live in, where somehow two mutually exclusive items can be true. In fact, you have Al Gore, he out there, he added his voice to what liberals have been saying about this. He said, democracy is at risk because we can get information outside the government-controlled left-wing media. According to Al, if you get your info from someone the Democratic Party and the Democratic-ran government doesn't approve of, you are a danger to democracy. He said, representative democracy works best when someone gets the same information from the same biased left-wing sources that agree with him. The same biased left-wing sources that I've just been mentioning. Now, this is pretty much what the left-wing Antifa dudes that sent fentanyl to election offices said in their letter that they sent along with the fentanyl. What's the point of democracy with liberals in control? That's what they asked in that letter. They said there is, well, actually, they didn't ask it. They just said flat out, there's no point in having elections anymore now that liberals are in control. So here's some fentanyl, die. So that is the question, though. What is the point of having elections if everyone believes the same thing and the same solutions as Al Gore wants you? If Al Gore had his way, elections would just be, what, celebrity popularity contests with no difference in policy outcomes? How could there possibly be room for policy disagreements if the only allowed sources for information say the politicians and policies they advocate for are perfectly correct? Democrats have been insisting for years now that if you don't vote straight-ticket Democrat, you are endangering democracy. But how is it democracy if no competing views are allowed? Democrats, of course, then pivot to the fact-based views that I mentioned. They say, well, there's room for disagreement, but it has to be based in fact. Well, if all the facts are the ones, A, that you provide, and B, point in one direction, how can there be any disagreement? And that is actually where we get into how the left has this mania about bigotry and racism and all that sort of thing. Bigotry and hate and whatever. It's because they feel that they have the fact-based worldview, and the only reason you disagree with them isn't because of the facts that they have wrong. It's because you must be bigoted. That's it. There's no other reason for you to disagree with them, because they are right in their minds. They are right. They have the information. They have the evidence. They are right. It's not that you might have a valid point of view. It's that the only reason there is no valid point of view, because other than what they have, because that's where all the information they have points. And if you disagree with that, it's not because their view is wrong. It's not because their facts are wrong. It's because you are wrong. And why are you wrong? Well, it must be because you're a bigot. That's it. That's how we get to their worldview. So, you know, let's look at some of their facts, though, this fact-based evidentiary arguments that they like to say they make. Fact-based, like the idea that elections can't be stolen unless Stacey Abrams or Mark Elias say otherwise. The idea that people born male can get pregnant. Or how about the Trump-Russia collusion hoax? The COVID-19 kids hoax where the media had to pay millions for lying? Or how about repeatedly lying about Trump's fine people statement in Charlottesville in 2017? Or repeatedly lying about guns being the number one killer of kids? Or not only lying about vaccines being harmless and 100% effective at stopping COVID, but demanding people be censored or imprisoned for saying that those are lies? Or how about just the belief in the idea that somehow things are better now with higher costs of living, higher inflation, higher shrinkflation than they were under Trump? Or how about Lloyd Austin saying both that he would, always having said that he would send troops to Ukraine and never saying that he would send troops to Ukraine to fight Russia? You know, having a religious belief in these blatant lies is what liberals mean when they say fact-based. But your belief in the truth is the problem. So it should come as no surprise that to the liberal mind, democracy is synonymous with dictatorship. Gee whiz, they say we're protecting democracy by sending money to Ukraine. Zelensky, who's banned opposition journalists, banned a major religion, banned the opposition party, and even banned elections, that's democracy. But somehow, yeah, it does not make sense unless you look at it through their lens, through their view of the world, where if you say anything that disagrees with their facts, that's in air quotes there, then it's not because you have different set of facts. It's not because their facts are wrong. It's because you have some kind of personality flaw, which predisposes you to disagree with them. And you should therefore not be taken seriously at all because, you know, you're just a crazy person, basically. And that's one of the dangers behind their claims that you need red flag laws to buy guns and you need psychiatric evaluations to buy guns and all that. Because who are the psychiatrists here, psychologists? They're the ones who believe this kind of thing. They're the ones who are on board with this idea that they have all the facts, they're right, and you're wrong. And the only reason you're wrong isn't because you have different facts, it's because you have a flaw as a person. And let's apply that. A lot of them apply that issue to gun ownership. They think you are an actual insane person if you think you need to own a gun. So, of course, they're not going to let you have one. Of course, they're going to rule you mentally incompetent if you want one. Why wouldn't they? That's their worldview. That's the facts that they live on. And they don't see any other kind of reality. They're incapable of it. And that makes all these gun laws that they're throwing out a lot more dangerous, especially when you consider their motivations. Some of them, they just want to ban guns because, well, you're, as a civilian, you're a threat to government overreach. But then others want to ban them just because they are so taken in with the leftist mantras and leftist mentality and the left-wing view of the world that they are not capable of seeing any other kind of view. Not only that, they don't want to. Why would they? They want to, that would be siding with the devil, that would be siding with evil, that would be siding with insanity. And in their minds, they stand for sanity and reason. Unfortunately, their sanity is insane and their reason is unreasonable. But yeah, so now we have, right before Congress, though, we have the Go Safe Act, which bans just about every semi-automatic rifle and pistol out there. Then you have something in Congress, the Gun Violence Prevention and Community Safety Act, which creates a federal registry, federal license to buy a firearm and all that. And also, it, And also, red flag laws, that's the thing I was going for. I was trying to find there in the notes, because I'm skimming through notes now, because I've got only 2 minutes left here. I kind of ran long on the whole idea about how they're out in outer space, and I got to get to these anti-gun things real quick so that you're aware of them. So yeah, the Gun Violence Prevention and Community Safety Act, federal firearms license, federal firearms registry, and red flag laws, so that your neighbors who think you're insane for ever wanting to own a gun can report you as a red flag, and you will never own a gun after that. Simple as that. That's how it works. And there's no way to get your name off those lists either, not unless you want to spend years and a lot of money trying to do so. And you don't even know you're on those lists until you go to find it. But also at the state level, they're trying to do different stuff, different things as well. Washington State, for example, they just issued something where basically if you want to buy a gun, you got to wait 88 days to do it. And you got to pay a lot of money. So it is a very strong policy against owning guns right there. And if they can't ban them outright because of the Second Amendment, they'll just make it almost impossible to actually get a hold of one. Because that whole 88-day period, that's just assuming that everything works and that they actually have all the infrastructure in place. All they have to do is defund some of it, and boom, no one gets a gun. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
This message is sponsored by Coca-Cola. Wake up to the taste you crave with breakfast at Burger King. Rise and shine with a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit with melted American cheese layered between warm buttermilk biscuits. Or grab and go with a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. A toasted croissant with savory sizzling sausage. Burger King breakfast sandwiches and Simply Orange. Better together. Enjoy a Burger King breakfast with Simply Orange juice and get your vitamin C one delicious sip at a time with no added sugar. All Burger King breakfast sandwiches pair perfectly with crispy hash browns and all-natural Simply Orange juice. Start your day with a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. It's thick-cut smoked bacon, fluffy eggs, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. Never sweetened, never concentrated, and never frozen, Simply Orange pairs perfectly with a delicious breakfast at Burger King. Better together, Burger King breakfast with Simply Orange juice at participating U.S. Burger King restaurants.
Kia America honors veterans by connecting highly trained former military technicians with meaningful new careers at Kia retailers through the Kia Veterans Technician Apprenticeship Program, VTAP. Launched earlier this year in partnership with Educational Resource Systems Incorporated, the program is a U.S. Department of Labor and GI Bill approved national apprenticeship. Kia VTAP provides master-level trained veteran technicians with career access to hundreds of participating Kia retailers nationwide. Eligible veterans may also elect to receive a substantial monthly GI Bill stipend during their 12-month apprenticeship. Greg Silvestri, Vice President, Service Operations.
Kia VTAP is delivering skilled and experienced military veterans to our retailers during this period of unprecedented record sales and growth. I'm inspired by the quality and tenacity of these veterans as we honor them and all military veterans who served in the U.S. Armed Forces.
For more information, visit KiaVets.com. Sponsored by Kia America.
Hi, I'm Catherine Judah Chilo. I have three wonderful children with my husband, Sean, who I met on the 17th season of The Bachelor. At just 5 months old, our son, Isaiah, became sick and spent 4 days in the hospital. At first, my husband and I thought he had a common cold, but it turned out to be much more serious. It was respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. RSV is the number one reason why babies are hospitalized. I'm sharing my story so other parents can learn about the importance of helping protect their babies from RSV when they are most vulnerable to it. If you are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant, speak to your OBGYN or healthcare provider about the risks of RSV. As a mother, I've seen a lot of warning labels, from choking hazards to baby toys, and I wish RSV came with one. To learn more, visit www.bewareofrsv.com. That's www.bewareofrsv.com. This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. but get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silker Dish Airway. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour. So let me put a finer point on this gun control thing that I only had like 2 or 3 minutes left in the last segment while we wait for our guest to show up. Excuse me. And of course, I'm going to cough, too, because I have time for that. All right. So the Go Safe Act, you know, liberals, they say, oh, we just want to ban certain kinds of guns, those scary assault weapons. We want to ban those. Those are horrifying. No one needs one of those. So then the Go Safe Act comes along. Actually, it will ban every semi-automatic rifle and every semi-automatic pistol out there. And then in Washington State, they get a little bit more crazy because, you know, they said, "All we don't want a total ban. We just want to ban assault weapons." Well, they did that back in April. And then they, well, now our guest is here, so point is that they will continue with this whole gun control matter, even though they have gotten what they said they wanted. They just want more and more. But joining us now on a totally different topic, we have Dr. Michael Nails. He is a physician and a molecular geneticist specializing in immunology and author of the book, The Indoctrinated Brain, How to Successfully Fend Off the Global Attack on Your Mental Freedom. Dr. Nails, thank you for being on the show. How are you today?
Hey, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yep, glad to have you. So tell us about your book here.
Well, the book is essentially the ultimate explanation of what we have experienced the last 4 years. It gives essentially all the pieces of the puzzle that were, at least for me, not understandable, have now fallen into place. And I see a full picture. And what I can see is that all the wars that we are fighting at the moment worldwide, wars about over borders, war against climate change, or even the war against certain pandemics, is only a single war against the human brain.
Hmm. That's interesting. And you point out how that there's been declining mental capacity in general across the world. Mental illnesses, everything from depression to Alzheimer's, are rising. So you seem to have found a sort of commonality here between all these sometimes seemingly disparate factors.
Yeah, actually, I already published a paper on this, a scientific publication peer-reviewed in 2016 called The Unified Theory of Alzheimer's Disease. And in the theory, I explain that the reason we get Alzheimer's is due to the fact that we live outside our natural needs. And there's one particular element that is that the autobiographical memory, which is primarily affected by Alzheimer's, but also by depression, and what we see now due to the injections of the mRNA and all the measures we've seen in 2020, they all lead to one common denominator, and that is a lack of growth of the autobiographical memory. You have to understand that the autobiographical memory contains the whole wealth of our personal life experiences. And because we grow old, it has to grow as well. So this center in our brain, which actually has the shape of a seahorse, that's why it's called hippocampus. The hippocampus can grow the whole life. It produces daily new nerve cells. And if you don't allow these nerve cells to grow and to be produced, then you actually develop depression, and in the long run, you develop Alzheimer's. And these cells have a very specific function. First of all, they are the neuronal correlate of curiosity. They also are the neuronal correlate of our ability to have a resilience. So if you damage this production, you reduce resilience, reduce your curiosity. What I also show in my book, it reduces the ability to think. And in the long run, that's even worse. If you have a lack of, let's say, autobiographical capacity, and you force people to remember things with fear, then they start to override, the narratives start to override your personal history, and you become a uniform creature. Essentially, your personality becomes a narrative.
Wow. And did we just come this way as a society on our own? Just naturally, this is the course of evolution, I guess, with technology that we have and the way we use it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's certainly a direction our culture has taken away from our natural needs. So this process has taken shape already over the last decades. But what really happened in 2020 was an increase in this distance between natural and technological, or in this case, even completely absurd measures. But what is even worse is that I can show, even from SARS-CoV-1 in 2003, it was clear that the spike protein damages the autobiographical memories, and in particular, the production of new nerve cells, which is required for its function. So in 2021, when the mRNA program started, essentially a toxin was distributed, which specifically can enter the brain. That's what it was manufactured for. The purine cleavage site essentially allows the production of the S1 subunit, which can enter the brain via the blood-brain barrier. And then it is clearly shown that it then starts a process of neuroinflammation, which essentially kills the production of new nerve cells in the hippocampus.
Now, you mentioned that you had a paper on all this published back in 2016, so this would have been known to the folks doing the mRNA vaccine, wouldn't it? Or is there just like such two disparate fields that we're talking about here, immunology versus brain studies, that they just wouldn't have thought to look at your work?
My work is essentially a summary of what has been done before me. I mean, it contains over 1,000 publications. So this was already known in 2006, 2007, when, for example, SARS-CoV-1, the spike protein of SARS-CoV-1, was analyzed. So this was well known, and 15 years later, the Nobel Prize was given for optimizing the process of getting the spike-1 protein into the brain.
Mm. So then, instead of another paper, how did you end up writing this book?
Sorry, I didn't get this.
No, instead of just doing another paper on the topic, what motivated you to do a whole book on it?
Well, the problem is you have to write it in a way that people understand. You know, people don't usually, most people don't read scientific papers. So we have to make it more easily to understand. So we have to break it up in little pieces that can be easily understood, because people need to know the whole picture. My book provides the whole picture from in a medical term, I would say, provide the perfect diagnosis of what was going on the last years. And only if everybody understands the diagnosis, then we can actually make a therapy that works.
All right, we are almost out of time. So real quick, where can we get a copy of your book?
You get it everywhere. You can get it at Amazon. You get it from Skyhorse Publisher. Skyhorse is my publisher, and I think they will offer the book as well.
All right, and listeners, thank you to Dr. Nehls for being on. But listeners, it is Nehls, N-E-H-L-S, and the book is titled The Indoctrinated Brain, How to Successfully Fend Off the Global Attack on Your Mental Freedom. And we are out of time for the Silk Road Joe Show. You can go check that out or check out our website, mainstreetmedianetwork.com, or our social media page on Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk Road Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.